you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Going to pop in here for a couple minutes. I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
I'm a good friend with Wonstadt as well. And what's his drink of choice, by the way?
Usually a Manhattan.
Bourbon.
Or Terry Bradshaw bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Bourbon. All right, good. I'm an old-fashioned guy myself.
Football analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
But here's the thing. I'm enthusiastic, okay? Yeah. Because...
I like that. Let's get some shirts. I'm enthusiastic.
You are?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we know you are, Coach.
I'm from Flus.
We, you and I both have some enthusiasm, you know? I mean, it's understandable. right now. Tell them we're using that one around these parts.
I will.
Is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
Oh no. Oh no, Coach. It was the first day of padded practice.
And I'm always available I'm doing something.
We think he's doing something?
I mean, he texted me, call me, no Twitch. So I called him, write the voicemail twice.
All right.
Is he rejecting my call?
No, not if he said to call you. This is a tech issue.
Then I don't trust him to solve it.
I don't either. Call Jan.
I might have to. Yeah, maybe I'll call Jan.
Have him. He'll... Just text him back and say, Coach, we're calling you, and it's going right to voicemail.
Oh, I didn't think of that. You want to switch?
Yeah, you want a monologue?
Yeah, I did today.
What do you mean you did today?
I did on TikTok today. The score is TikTok for 25 minutes. I monologued for 25 minutes today.
Who was asking you the questions?
TikTokers.
Oh, the commenters. No one was reading them to you. You weren't interacting. You were reading and talking?
Yeah. Yeah, all on my own.
Oh, wow.
I've gotten a lot better since my my foray into monologuing, 2 years ago?
All right, 540.
Nope. Nope, we're talking about something else then.
Yeah, all right.
Obama's on at 540.
Oh, today. Wow. Good job.
Barack.
Booked the big guest.
Got Barack and Big Mike on at 540.
All right, that'll be exciting. Big Mike. Well, I really appreciate our social media team doing the video of my impromptu burpee. In the studio.
Oh, did they put that up there?
Oh, they sure
damn
did.
Damn it, guys.
We told you not to do
don't
that.
Don't put that up.
Yeah.
Here's Dave. Oh, it comes up as Jan Wonstadt, so even Jan has the cell phone bill.
The comments are just, they're super kind. Tyson Bagent burpeed a mile this offseason in training, so the guys wanted me to do a burpee, and I kind of did one. But that's not the point. Dave Wonstadt is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
There it is! Coach, how are you?
What's happening, Danny? We're Spigs.
He heard that we weren't going to be at practice, and he's like, I can't come in.
We're Spigs.
That's what happened.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed. I know I was forward to hanging out with you guys up there at Lake Forest. But anyway, it was good. It was a great day. I had a fantastic day. I got a lot done, talked to a lot of people, and saw a heck of a practice. So it was all good day. good day.
All right, so can people, what can you share? Like, if you know, if I was up at this practice today, they'd give me a media credential, and I'd be where, you know, Dan Wiederer and Kevin Fishbane and Mark Grody are. You want to go to practice, you go right to Fluce. Can you take our audience through your day as best you can?
Well, yeah, I got there early, and I met with Harry, who handles all the analytics early. I was there by 7. Saw Fluce. He was in there, and talked to him for a minute. He was getting organized. He was doing something with the secondary. So I sat through a meeting there and just looking at yesterday's practice, some of the calls that the officials made, why they called them, were they good calls or not, and we were just talking some situations. And then I walked down the hall, and the special teams coach yelled at me, and I went in there, and we talked about the new kickoff return and kickoff coverage, and just kind of shared some thoughts back and forth. And then I went in and sat with Fluce for a while and visited with him just about the team and where they were at this point, kind of what he did at, you know, in the off season, about his trip to Italy and what I've been doing. And then we got into a little bit of football. Then it was about time for practice. Visit with the defensive coordinator, Eric Washington, a little bit. Then practice. Ryan Poles came up and a nice talk with Ryan and some of the scouts that were there. So, no, I had and then I watched, obviously, the entire practice. And so it was a full day.
Yeah.
Tony met, you know, full day.
It's a very full day. They're going to be.
Let me say this, Danny. They treat me better than any group that's been there since I left, and I mean that. It's
wow.
And I really appreciate that.
Do you get the sense that that's coming from Fluce, from Poles? Who do you get the sense is driving? Because I've heard other Bears alumni say that.
Matt Eberflus, he's the point guy. I mean, Matt's the guy, and so I'm going to give him all the credit. Now, everybody else was good. I actually didn't even have time to get back in the office. I was going to walk down and see George McCaffrey and Kevin Warren, but I really ran out of time, to be quite honest with you.
I do want to talk to you about the new kickoff rule. I don't think that the average fan has really processed how different this is going to be. Teams are saying crazy things about how they're going to handle it. The Bears are going to be practicing the kick return tomorrow in front of fans with pads. What do you think? What do you think this is going to look like?
Well, I had a long conversation with Wade Phillips. I think most of our listeners know who Wade Phillips is. He came up, you know, Bum Phillips' son. He's been a head coach in the NFL. He's been in the NFL like for 50 years. Wade is coaching in the XFL right now. In fact, he was in the championship game against Skip Holtz's team who won it. Long story short, he was with the USFL before they joined the leagues this year. The reason I tell you that is they use this kickoff coverage and this kickoff return in the USFL. So he had firsthand experience practicing it, using it. So I thought he would be as good a source as anybody. And we had a great conversation. The biggest reason that the NFL is doing it is to get, you know, in the USFL, over 80% of the kickoffs were returned. So you're going to see the ball more than likely being returned. Okay. The second thing is injuries. You know, the guys are going to kick the ball between the goal line and the 20. And everybody's going to line up on the 35-yard line, the plus 35. The kicker will kick from the minus 35 where he kicked last year. But so the proximity, and you cannot start covering the kick and cannot start blocking until the returner touches the ball. So the contact really is going to be more screening. There'll be no double teams. I don't know if they're going to allow trap blocks or not, but there won't be any of those vicious hits because of they're 5 yards apart. And the return guy's going to catch the ball, and he's going to be at the 25 or 30. These guys are at the 35. It's just going to be a matter of playing defense. Now, the interesting point, and I was talking to the guys up there today, I said, I think the Bears will have an advantage because Wade made an interesting point to me. The teams that were the five wide receiver offenses, they don't have the blockers because you can't – offensive linemen, could they do it? Sure they could. Could defensive guys be good blockers? Sure they could. You'll have to use some of them. But the ideal guys on the return team are tight ends and fullbacks because that's what they do all day long. And I look at the Bears, that's what we do. We got plenty of tight ends, and you can use your starters on this thing. And defensively, it's just like playing defense. I mean, you can use starters if you wanted to, truly.
Do you think they will? Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, do you think like Jaquan Brisker would be on the coverage team for the Bears?
I think he could be. I don't know. I didn't get into Flus what his philosophy is. But we should use every one of those tight ends. I mean, guys aren't going to get hurt now. You're dropping back 5 yards, and the guy's on top of you, and he's going to be on you with his hands on you, and it's a matter of who can hold a block or hold, whatever you want to do, the longest. And then the return guys, there's not going to be – and everybody's going to kick the ball between the numbers and the sideline. So they're going to be pinned in. They're going to be playing on one-third of the field, and there's not going to be any real areas to cover. Now, if you want to kick the ball, this is the one thing that we talked about today that I think is going to happen. And Wade said the ball should – his reference was if the ball is kicked out of the end zone. Okay, remember last year, guys, the last 14 kickoffs in the National Football League, which I'm going through the Super Bowl, the last 14 times that the ball was kicked off in the National Football League, 13 of them were kicked out of the end zone, and one, the guy caught in the end zone and took a knee. There were no returns, zero. Now, I said kicked out of the end zone. The only thing that, to me, doesn't make sense, and we talked about this, and I brought it up today to Flus and those guys, you know, if they kick the ball out of the end zone, the offense gets the ball at the 30.
Right.
Well, the average return was between the 28 and 32 yard line. So in essence, you might as well, in my opinion, this is just me now, you might as well kick it out of the end zone and give the offense the ball at the 30 and go play football. Now, if you were going to give the offense the ball at the 35 or the 40, now you're really going to force them to return the ball because now you've got an advantage of picking up anywhere from 5-10 yards as far as field position.
I've talked to three people about this who, you know, are like you, like they super connected to people in the league. And that is the conclusion, is that this rule is well-intentioned but ultimately flawed, and that teams are going to just kick it out the back of the end zone, take the touchback, and it's going to have a reverse effect, and there actually won't be more returns. I
think you're right. I'm agreeing with you, Danny. You and I are on the same page, and I can tell you this without getting any names. It was two defensive coaches that this thing was being talked about, and it was on the fence at the league meetings, and two defensive coaches they're going to be the determining factor with their vote. And they both were defensive guys and said, we don't want the ball at the 35. You put it at the 30, and we'll vote it in. And that's what happened.
Interesting. Okay. We're talking to Dave Wanstead. Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge story at the start of this year. Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton this is a true battle. They are rotating days with the ones. They are listed next to each other on the depth chart. This is as true of a position battle as you'll see in training camp. Take us through how position battles are graded when the coaches are watching film of a day's practice.
Well, it starts with the meeting, and by the meeting, I mean the classroom. You know, before they go on the field, they'll have a meeting. They'll go through the plays. They'll review what they're going to do so everybody's organized. And the guys that, let's just assume that one guy is a little bit more into it, a little more attentive and taking notes than the other guy, that would give you an edge to start before you even get on the field. If both guys are even, now it comes down to, obviously, what they're going to do on offense. Do they want a guy that's more power? a bigger, stronger guy? One is probably a little bit more than the other. Do they want somebody that's a little bit more finesse, the old recruits type? You know, now it comes into what are you expecting your center to do? Do you want to pull them like Kelce did it at the with the Eagles? What are you going to ask your center to do? And that's a separator right there. And then when you go full speed, the guys that can finish blocks and make the right calls, the center is the guy that's determining, you know, obviously the blocking scheme. So he's going to identify the front, odd front, even front, whatever it might be, and he's going to give a right, Louis, whatever the call would be, to kind of dictate the blocking on pass protection. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff at this position. Now, the interesting thing, watching him today, I thought, Bates has been a guard, and he's played some center. Shelton has been a center, obviously, all the whole time and played last year for the Rams. So I don't see the experience being that big of a factor. If it would be a little bit, Shelton may get the check because he's done it more. The interesting thing, now I can't remember which one's which. One of them is right-handed. I don't know if our listeners know this. And the other one is left-handed.
I'm pretty sure Coleman Shelton's left-handed.
Okay, so what happens on that, and I was talking to Flus about it today, which, you know, is it's under center, there's really not much of a factor. But, you know, Caleb is going to, which I love, he's taking snaps under center, and then he's taking snaps in the shotgun. Under center is a whole new ball of wax for him because they didn't do much of that, obviously, at Oklahoma or at USC. And so a different right-handed, left-handed center, you're snapping the ball with the other hand. It's a little bit different. So Caleb, it's critical that he gets snapped with both guys. When you're in the shotgun, now the spin is different. All right? So now, just like a right-footed punter and a left-footed punter, if a guy's kicking from the left, if he's a left-footed punter, the ball is going to come to the return guy. It's going to spin opposite of a right-footed punter. So it's the same thing with the shotgun snap. The spin is a little bit different. Is it a big deal? No, but it could be if you've never worked on it and you never were conscious of it. So I think the Bears are covering their bases. I would be willing to say right now that they're not even close to making the decision. It's great competition. Both guys are doing a heck of a job from what I saw today. But because of the right-handed left hand and the shotgun snaps and the spin of the ball and Caleb not being up under center, they're doing a good job of covering their bases. I hope that my explanation kind of
clear. It did. It's good stuff. We're talking to Dave Wanstead, who was at practice today. Were Hard Knocks cameras following you around, Coach?
You know what? I was saying something to Caleb one time talking about some people that I know that went to Gonzaga, you know, his high school for 2 seconds. And I saw the cameras coming and I got the hell out of there. The last thing I want is be anywhere near Hard Knocks saying something, you know. But anyway, so yeah, I saw the cameras were all over the place. Absolutely, they were.
Okay. What did you get any time with Caleb?
No. I just said hello to him. And he said hello, and I said, hey, I said, because I recruited kids out of Gonzaga High School. You know, I used to take the train from New Jersey. You jump on the train, you get right there at the train station in D.C., and you can walk across the street to Gonzaga High School. That's where he went to school. And I just said, you know, 2 minutes to him. That was it.
Yeah. Do you have a sense yet on if this offense or defense is going to be the better unit on the Bears?
I don't. But I'll tell you what I told Flus after practice. You know, he came up, he said, what'd you see? And I said, well, number one, your defense is fast. I said, you've got great speed across the board at all three levels. And offensively, I was impressed when they were running plays, whether it was a running play or a screen or a pass, their offensive line coach, and I know we're not the most talented offensive line or the most experienced, but we were not turning guys free. And I said that to him. I said, you know, you did a great job of getting hats on people. And by hats on people, I mean, you know, two guys are pulling. It's a screen. They're out there. They're not running by people. They're blocking the correct guy. And I said, that was impressive to me. And then overall with the team, reminds me of the, you know, a college practice, reminds me of our early days at the Dallas Cowboys. You know, when you got a young team, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of enthusiasm. You know, it was a upbeat practice. I thought the coaches and players did a great job. I really did.
Did you notice anything with Dexter? People have seemed to be impressed by him so far.
He looks great. I thought he was that way last year. Everybody's saying we need a three technique. I said that today. You don't need a three technique between him. I mean, Billings will be good. You got three guys right now. Okay, you got Billings. You got Singletary. Is it Singletary? The guy they drafted last year from South Carolina.
Pickens.
He looked good to me. And then you got Dexter. So to me, you got three tackles. You got to get another one. And then the defensive end that I would get out there, and I know that it's early, and I know that the competition is such, but I'll tell you what, obviously Sweat looked good, but Walker is going to be fine. I mean, that's your starter, but Austin Booker, the rookie kid from Kansas, I'm telling you, this guy does some things that you don't coach, and he's light. In the shorts right now because of his size. I get that, but I'll tell you what, he does stuff naturally. He did a spin move today that, and I use the expression, you know, get guys that do things you don't have to coach. They weren't coaching that today because I watched what they worked on an individual, and they were not working on that up the field, you know, left arm up under and spin out of it. They weren't working on that, and he did that today and came free on the quarterback. So, I'd get him work. I'd play him. I know he's light, but I'd stick him in there and turn him loose.
Anything else interesting that you heard from your polls? Anything stand out?
No, you know what? No, I didn't, from the standpoint, I know they were talking about, the offensive line a little bit, and I'll tell you, Davis was out there practicing, doing everything. Who was the other guy they were talking about? Was they talking about Larry Borum? I think I heard something that they said he was hurting and weren't sure where he was at. It was either him or Braxton Jones. One of the two people were saying that the guy was moving slow because he was hurt coming off an injury. They both practiced today, and they looked fine to me. So, Darnell Wright, I mean, he's going to have a big year. That kid's really good. And the good news is he was going against Sweat today. So they had Sweat lined up against him in the one-on-one drills and so forth. So he's getting quality of work against, obviously, a great player. So it was good. Jack Sanborn was in there working with the first group. And Jack made a couple plays. You know, I don't know how it's going to all shake out when they went to their three linebacker defense, that is, you know, when they weren't in nickel with Gordon. But Terrell Smith made a couple great, really nice plays today. I think they definitely have a third corner, you know, between Stevenson and Terrell Smith and obviously Jalen Johnson. I mean, I like where they got three guys right there. And Terrell, looked good. He's a football player. I mean, he really is. Kid out of Minnesota they drafted last year.
What about, you drafted a punter. They drafted a punter. Did you notice anything from Torrey Taylor?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit before they got into the practice. We were down in the end zone, and we were talking about Iowa, and the minute he found out I was from Pittsburgh, he laughed, and he says, God, he says, you know, because of Coach Ferentz, I know more Pittsburgh stories than I do, you know, and he started laughing, and he put on a show. I mean, the kid it's crazy. It's truly crazy because it was windy up there today, and God forbid if he gets the wind to his back in a game. You talk, you know, the old expression in special teams, a kicker can flip the field, meaning he can kick it from one side to the other and put the offense, coming off the goal line or whatever. And the guy today a couple times was punting out of the end zone and kicked it back off across the 50. And he can, as long as they protect him, which I'm sure they will, he is a weapon. There's no question about that.
All right, this was great, Dave. When are you going back? When are you going next?
I don't know. Tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. No, not tomorrow. But I'll try to get up there. I wanted to see them one time before they go. They go to Canton next Wednesday. They told me they leave next Wednesday. I wanted to see them once before Canton, and then when they get back, I'll see them one more time. Maybe I'll go up for the Cincinnati practice. You know, I think they're going to work against them, aren't they?
The 15th of August.
Yeah, maybe I'll see if I'm available. Then maybe I'll go up then. You know,
what do you think they'll play Caleb and any other guys who matter in Canton?
Well, I don't know. You know, and I didn't get into that. I wanted to, and that was on my checklist, and I didn't bring it up to Floos. But I think, you know, I coached in that game with the Dolphins. And we were a good team. We were a veteran team. I think my second year, we were coming off 12 wins, I think. And I played my guys, I think, a series. But at that time, that was going to be our fifth game. But after the game, I felt like I didn't take advantage of the practice and meeting time that I should have. And now they got one less game. So, you know, every practice is crucial, I think. And you got in a game, and I made a couple of decisions, and we lost the game. And I remember getting on the bus afterwards, and I says, that was stupid. You know, I think we went for a 60-yard field goal where normally we would have, would have gone for it. And just some situations that I wouldn't have done in the regular season, but I did it. And I says, oh, it's the Hall of Fame game, you know, and then it came back to haunt me. So, I think they need to take advantage of it. I think it'll be really good for Shane Waldron because of new play calling with a new quarterback. And even Eric Washington, you know, I mean, he'll be involved with the defense and Floos. You know, this would be a great game. I could just tell Eric Washington, if I was Floos, you got to call this game, you know, to get him in the groove a little bit. And then him and Floos can talk about the decisions after the game. So, they need to, you know, hopefully they'll take advantage of this. And how much they would play the starters, I don't know. You know, I hope so. But if you play one, you kind of got to play them all. That's what you're into. We'll see. I don't have any idea on that concrete.
Okay.
Not sure.
Are you beating yourself up over losing the Hall of Fame game?
Yes, I am.
It was a preseason game, Coach. It's okay.
Yes, it was a fifth preseason game, too.
Yeah, it's okay. You don't need to, you should let it go, okay?
Yeah. But no, you know what? You want to
just let it go. You got a couple of Super Bowls, you got a couple of national championship. You're okay.
Listen to me. When I was with Coach Shula in the Dolphins for those 7 weeks before I went to Dallas, he wanted an entire playbook for every preseason game. And his thing was, I want to win every game that we line up. And it was complete opposite of what we did at Dallas and most places and what most teams do in the NFL. But he did not care. And there I was at the Dolphins, and we kind of let one get away from us in the preseason. And it just bothered me. I thought about that, and I'm sure Coach Shula was sitting home having a bourbon, and he was cussing me out somewhere, you know?
Yeah, well, you should forgive yourself. Show yourself some grace for that preseason game. Dave, this was excellent. This was jam-packed with information. Thank you for making time for us today, and enjoy your weekend, okay?
Yeah, hey, let the listeners know that this is going to be our, I don't know, Shane, I guess Shane's the head coach of this thing, but I guess this is going to be our new time now, 5 o'clock on Thursdays, not 4.
Right. So we are. But today's Friday.
It's always been 5.
No, it hasn't. It's been 4 o'clock. Oh. 5 o'clock in Naples.
You don't like when someone gaslights you then, huh?
Gaslights me. What are you talking about, Shane? No. It's gonna be 5 o'clock on Thursdays, and it's gonna be a real happy hour. 5 o'clock.
Real happy hour. Real happy. Jimmy will be off the boat by then. We'll be able to get him.
Coach, Jimmy will be dozing off by then. Come on.
What drink do you want next week, Coach? We're not doing a sidecar again or a town car. What do you want next week?
You know what? I've got to look at my schedule and see if I'm available. You know, my contract technically is like about a week before the season starts. So
I know what your contract is.
I'm just kind of a team player on this stuff. Here.
Wait, are you holding in, Coach? Are you holding in on
this,
us?
Is this a hold in?
It's a hold in. I like it. Hold on. The second I go to, what is next Thursday? The first?
We can do. We don't have to do this.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I should be available, Tanny, you know?
Are you going to Lollapalooza?
No. Is that no. You know what?
You're not going to see Chapel Round?
I'm going up to Rutgers on Sunday. I'm just looking at my schedule here for a couple of days. So anyway, yeah, that should work. We'll talk next week, though.
You didn't answer
Tanny,
the question, but we'll talk.
I should be available, Tanny, okay?
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, see you, Dave.
See you guys.
See ya. Man. Texter writes in, I love Wani, but this is the best segment I've ever heard in terms of information. Fantastic. Different Texter. This Wani interview just made football season feel real. I mean, that guy.
Whoa.
That was honestly, though, like normally he's stories, anecdotes, energy, fun, some analysis. That was hardcore football. That guy gets a behind-the-scenes tour with Poles and Fluce and Washington and talked to Caleb and the whole thing. Talked to Tory Taylor. Every guy I brought up, he was like, oh, yeah, I talked to him about Dexter. Oh, yeah, I talked to him about this guy. Oh, this is what they're thinking at center. There was a lot there. Parkin and Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it, I like it.
Still just buzzing in the aftermath of Dave Wannstedt talking about left-handed centers, talking to punters at practice, roaming the hallway, not even having time to speak to George McCaskey. That's good stuff.
What are you doing here?
Scooby-Doo?
No, that was George McCaskey. That was Dan Wiederer doing George McCaskey, wondering why Dave Wannstedt's in the hallway.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't follow the entire thing on that impression.
It's on me, hand up.
No, it's probably more on me. Listen, I don't want to kill the vibes around here, but it's just in the interest of newsmaking. Garrett Crochet may or may not be traded, looking like he's not going to be traded. He issued a statement of some sort on the reports that he wants a new contract.
You really hate mentioning the White Sox, don't you?
I hate it so much.
Dude, you're dripping with it.
You're dripping with
White Sox disdain.
I have disdain for them ruining my friend. Look how beautiful it is outside on this Friday after this football report.
It's a two-team town, babe.
I know.
Thank you have you. To mention the other one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's hear Garrett Crochet. Let's hear Garrett Crochet address the trade rumors.
What that situation is.
In terms of that, it's, you know, it kind of just is what it is. Right now I'm focused on pitching for the White Sox, and beyond that I'm not really controlling much.
So that is a false report or true report, or can you confirm or deny it, or?
No comment. Right now I'm just, you know, focused on pitching for the White Sox.
To circle back to the report yesterday, I don't know, like, are you trying to protect yourself if you end up pitching longer than you thought you would have this year?
That's a bad take.
You know, as of now, I'm pitching for the White Sox. That's about all I got.
Are you feeling any signs of fatigue at this point?
No, you know, the five-day routine's been, you know, ultimately a huge factor for me that's allowed me to, you know, kind of retain my health and my conditioning throughout the season.
What have you learned along the way making these starts on that routine about
the recovery and how you feel that maybe you weren't, that you didn't know or weren't expecting, you know, when this first started before the spring?
Did you phrase that one? Phrase it a little differently?
Yeah. What have you learned along the way kind of about the effects of on your health and maybe to pitch longer this year?
Nothing really.
Oh my God.
What do you think the chances are that you're not on this team next week?
Come on, Chuck. that's not for me to speculate.
This is your first team, your only team you've known so far. They gave you a chance a couple months after the draft. Does it mean something extra still being here, or does it end up being a business in the long run? Or a little bit both?
Yeah. I mean, no matter which way it sways is out of my control. I think that, you know, there's some things that, you know, show you that it's a business, but I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, for me to, you know, I'm not really sitting at the table, per se. Right now, I'm just focused on making starts for the White Sox.
That's riveting stuff. Come on, Chuck.
That's a crowd pleaser.
Ugh. I mean, I don't even, like, not confirming or denying the report, I guess, confirms it, because if he wanted to deny it, he'd deny it because it would help him get traded to a team that was gonna win. So that is all but a confirmation. But I didn't necessarily need it confirmed when John Heyman reports it and then it doesn't get denied by CAA. They've got a lot of media sources, and then Jesse Rogers and other baseball reporters are immediately able to confirm it. So that means that his agent is telling them all the same thing. The story's as good as confirmed. Like, I understand what Sully's doing there, but he doesn't. That story doesn't need to be confirmed. The agent is clearly confirming it to reporters that are out there. So he says he's only focusing on pitcher for the White Sox. Good, buddy. Because I think what you just did is ensure that you're going to continue to pitch for the White Sox, which is a really weird tactic when you think about it. Because he's like, if you trade me, I want a contract extension. But by asking for that, it makes it less likely for you to be traded. But if you're not traded, you're still on the White Sox. And if you're still on the White Sox, we know you're not going to get a contract extension. So he all but guarantees that he doesn't get a contract extension this year. Now, maybe they revisit it in the offseason, fine, but that's another couple of months he's got to go. I think this is going to backfire for all involved. I do not like this development. Shane, I think I've picked the event that I could compete in the Olympics.
Uh-oh, what is it?
I'll tell you on the other side.
Ooh.
That's a tease.
That's a tease.
For all you listeners out there. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
Go USA.
Ow! So Shane said he could be an Olympic athlete an equestrian.
Yep.
I've thought long and hard about this.
Same one?
No, not much of a horse rider. We all know I'm an excellent swimmer.
We do know that. We've seen it zero times.
Yeah, I'm an excellent swimmer, but these guys are world class, so I'm probably not quite as fast.
These guys like Michael Phelps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know,
Michael Phelps, they're better swimmers. I'm an excellent swimmer, but not good enough. Golf is an Olympic sport now, but you know, I shot an 83 at Wilmette last week, but that's, you know, not quite good enough to make the Olympic team.
What's par there? 72?
70.
70?
Yeah, so 13 over. Ooh. Not the greatest score in the world.
Not going to make the cut.
Probably not going to make the cut. You know, I'm not a big fan of guns, so I'm going to take shooting off the list. You're not much of a runner.
Definitely not breaking. You don't do that on time.
Nope. Considered, of course, weightlifting. But decided, you know, no. Badminton. Badminton. You don't have to be that good of an athlete. I got fine hand-eye coordination. I was good at it in fourth grade gym class. How hard?
I mean, that's when they stop measuring. So
the shuttlecock floats.
Whoa!
And so, like, how fast could it really go? How difficult could it possibly be?
Dump them.
Yeah,
dump
no, pretty
him.
Fast. I don't know if you remember when Brian Urlacher played in that commercial. He put a shuttlecock through some guy's leg.
Yeah, well, he's stronger than I am, but I feel like it's a sport more of grace than strength, and I obviously have a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I consider table tennis because I'm a ping pong player, obviously. had a table in my basement growing up.
Okay.
You watched Forrest Gump.
I've seen Forrest Gump before. So I know how to practice. But I think I've decided, you know, volleyball, I played a little bit back in the day, but they're too good of athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Badminton would be my sport. And then you give me 6 months to train.
Just 6 months, Danny.
I'm at least
to be an Olympian.
These people work their whole lives
I'm
to do it.
Qualifying.
And our guy Danny, 6 months.
I'm just saying that sport seems to be, from start to finish, the gap can't be that wide.
Okay, so you know how easy it would be for me to set up a badminton net here and beat you one-on-one.
But again, I'm not saying tomorrow. Like, I'm not saying the Paris Olympics.
All right, six months
from now, you guys are both doing it.
All right, so January.
Yeah.
You want to play badminton in January? I won't train an iota. I will beat you in badminton in 6 months.
But okay. But do you think if I said to you,
yeah,
$1 million,
sure,
you've got a qualifier for the 2028 Olympics in badminton?
Again, I cannot.
You could not?
No. I'm
It feels
realistic.
Like it would be the easiest one to do.
I know.
Sure, you got to know somebody.
Yeah, it's
true. Well, Danny knows badminton.
I do.
He knows Tom badminton.
Yeah. I mean, archery wouldn't be that hard either. It's all bullseyes.
Yeah, no, definitely not hard to shoot bows and arrows.
just gotta.
Katniss Everdeen, just like she picked that up no problem, started killing people.
I think.
Hudson runs the 3-2. He struck him out on a changeup, yep. And that's it. And Rodney looks to the sky and fires an arrow.
Yeah. Do you got one, Tanny? You think you could be an Olympian?
No, I could not. I don't think I can. But Shane was making a joke at your expense there a couple of minutes ago. But I do find the fact that they have breaking in the Olympics now. That is really cool. Like, I would love – I always wished I could do that. But, like, yeah. That was never my thing in hip-hop culture. But the fact that they got the B-boys and B-girls representing now in the Olympics, it's really cool and kind of weird. And it's, like, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be watching out for the – breaking.
Can I tease something for Tuesday when we're all back together?
Yeah, please.
So you asked me to pull any relevant audio from the TikTok live I did on the Scores TikTok today. Yeah. I might have pulled a Bruce Levine. I might have unfortunately killed someone. Like, unfortunately, this person blank. When Bruce said, unfortunately, he was a cancer survivor,
yeah.
I might have done that on TikTok today. I'll tease that for Tuesday because we don't have time right now.
Why did that happen on today's show?
We were packed. Yeah, okay. We were just packed. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was a cancer survivor.
So I did something very similar. I told a story about something that I've not spoken about publicly yet. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and did that. So Tuesday.
Stick around. I'll be here. I'm gonna be here on Tuesday.
Good.
All right. Thank yous today. John Morosi, Mark Grody, Dave Wonstedt were our guests. They were all fantastic. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Thank you for cutting the video of me doing the impromptu burpee in honor of Tyson Bagent. That'll be good for my mentions over the weekend. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. Mark Grody follows us. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is the Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.